sideline drive was fouled just by inches. Bugs Courtney can certainly clobber that ball. Well, here we are. First of the night, two men out, two on base, and the count on Bugs, three balls, two strikes. Score nothing to nothing. This is Del Sharbert at Ringo Stadium in St. Louis. You know, if St. Louis wins today, it'll be a clean sweep, having won a doubleheader 7-2 and 10-0 yesterday. Looks like the league leaders are fading pretty fast, and St. Louis might take over. Well, now the outfield has moved back into position, and here's the pitch. Ball four. Bugs walks, filling the bases. Now up comes their slugger, Hank Meadors. Hey, wait a minute. There's a terrific rhubarb. It looks like a youngster coming up to the plate. Hey, check this guy. No, it can't be a youngster. He has a big cigar in his mouth. A little bat and a big cigar. Well, here's the scoop on the rhubarb. For the first time in big league baseball, we have batting in the cleanup position for the league-leading champs, Pearl DeMondo, a midget.
You are listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Today we salute two great American institutions, the institution of James Grover Thurber, whose penetrating vision into the word and line has brought so much happiness to so many. And to the institution of baseball, a slice of Americana that quickens the pulse of the nation with the battle cry, play ball. Our efforts today are directed to the little leaguers with stars in their eyes, to the players in the minors hoping for that call which will take them to the majors and their big chance, to the players in the majors who this day are struggling so hard to live up to that promise, to the thousands of grandmothers who died so abruptly of a Wednesday afternoon, so that their devoted grandsons could pay them homage in ballparks all over our nation, and to you husbands who can't remember an anniversary or a birthday, but when called on can give the batting averages in both leagues for the past 20 years. We challenge you with James Thurber's You Could Look It Up.
When most people in our town think of baseball, they think of Squawks McGrew. He came by this handle because of a peculiar quality of voice. Things were fouled up and the team was in a slump, he'd start screaming, and then it would happen. Suddenly, he'd almost lose his voice and end up squealing like a little girl whose doll had been stepped on. All this was several years ago, when McGrew was a manager and making one of the greatest names in baseball. Now, the old boy had come home to rock away his last innings. I was making my annual visit. My paper sent me to get a story to find out who would play in the World Series. McGrew had an uncanny genius for prophecy, speaking a language all his own, and for baseball.
Hello, Larry. Come on in.
Thanks, Mr. McGrew.
Now, don't tell me, boy, that another year has passed.
Right so. Well, Mr. McGrew, I won't take up much of your time. You've always said the teams in first place the 4th of July usually win the series. This year, it's the Yankees and Cincinnati. You think that's the way it's going to wind up?
No, don't hurry me, boy. Let's sit out here on the porch and rock a while, hmm? Yeah. Speaking of those teams in first place and the 4th of July and all that, I'd like to tell you how once we led the whole league by about 7-8 games till about mid-September. Within a few days, that margin was trimmed down so as you could got it in the eye of a thimble. Just being about half a game ahead of St. Louis. Now, we've just been belted by Pittsburgh, was headed down to Columbus for an exhibition game. What a slump we was in. The boys run around snarling at each other, eating bad, sleeping worse. Batting for the team average is maybe hot 186. Half a time, nobody would speak, nobody else, lest it was to ball them out. Son, this is probably a long way to tell you. Would you like some lemonade?
No thanks, Mr. McGrew. Tell me, what happened in Columbus?
Well, even Columbus shut us out. 3-2. Don't mind telling you, son, I was mighty near crazy. What with the hitting and all. While we was at the Chittenden Hotel and really snarling, believe me, I wished I was dead. I was sitting at the bar of the old Chittenden, killing time, waiting on the train to St. Louis, when up comes Bugs Courtney.
Squawks!
Get lost, Bugs.
Bugs, you gotta get in the dining room. The boys are killing each other. Whitey Cott just hit Billy Klinger between the eyes with a T-bone steak.
Let them blind each other. Can't none of them see anyways. Though I beat it, Bugs.
Look, Squawk, if you want a bar club...
I said beat it. And remember, Bugs, the Wright brothers have still got to build an airship big enough for you to hit with a ball bat. Oh, bartender.
Yes, Mr. McGrew?
How I pity me, brother, how I pity me. I thought I was the manager of a great ball team. Instead of that, I'm managing a bunch of blindfolded circus clowns.
Are you right? I seen that game today, Junior. You ain't got no ball club. What you got there, Junior, is a sideshow.
Bartender. Bartender, bring me some black coffee. I must be having the DTs. I swear I've been talking to a 2.5-foot man.
It's all right, Mr. McGrew. This little guy here is Pearl Dumanville.
Pearl Dumanville? Pearl? I thought that was a girl's name.
Hold it, Junior.
What do you mean, Junior?
But don't pay him no attention. Pearl calls everybody Junior because it always turns out he's a year older than anybody else.
Oh, yeah? Well, how old is he?
How old are you, Junior?
Who, me? I'm 53.
Well, I'm 54.
Okay. What do you have, Dad?
Same as you, Junior. Give me a lift up in the bar, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right this way, folks. Come right in and see the greatest collection of freaks in the world. See the armless pitcher. See the infielders with five thumbs. See the armless batter.
That's great, Pearl. That's great. You tell
him.
Go on.
Come on, boss. The fellas want to get out of here. People are staring at us.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Pearl, I want you to meet my clowns. Clowns, this is Pearl Dumanville, a Mansoor of the old school. Now, watch it, Pearl. Don't shake hands with him. The fingers are made of chalk. It'll bust right off in your paw.
Why, you're taking it, Pearl. You're taking it, my girl. Come on, then, folks. Step right up. See the outfielders, the butterfingers. See the southpaw with the arm of a child.
Of a child. All right, quiet, fellas. Whitey, Hank, want you two to bring the Pearl along. He's coming as mascot.
What?
And I'm holding you two guys responsible.
Hey, wait a minute, Junior. How am I going without no toothbrush? What am I going to do with no other suit?
The boys will take care of you. Okay, I'm going to check out. I'll see you at the train. See the guys with the glass arms, eh? See the guys with the cast iron brains. See the players with feet on their wrists.
Shorty, why don't you go home now, huh? Come morning and McGrew will forget all about you.
Yeah. He probably thinks you were something he's seen in a nightmare, and he won't laugh so easy in the morning either. Now, why don't you go on home?
Nick. Skidoo. And 23 for you. Mr. Pearl Dumanville is heading for St. Louis.
Hey, McGrew, remember where you found this? Or maybe you think they come with a breakfast on this train.
Sneeze, your brains is dusty.
Here, here's a towel. Wipe your face. Sit down here, Bugs.
There's a real couple of Damon and Phidiases across the aisle, ain't they?
Hi, guys.
Why do we got enough trouble around here today? Why don't you go over and play with your midget?
What kind of a crack is that? Oh, let that have it, yeah. You wise guy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, give me
rash. Rash. Yeah. That's what I got for a ball club, Mr. Dubon Bill. Rashless.
A man can't be good at everything, but he ought to be good at something.
Oh, I wish I was manager of an old lady's sewing circle instead of a ball club.
That's great, Junior. That's great. You are. You are.
You little cord.
All right. Lay off, Hank. Now listen, you guys. If any of you hurt Pearl, I'll break your neck. Pearl here is the official mascot. And I want him to have a miniature suit and everything, just like the rest of us.
Oh, fine.
And Hank, I'm holding you responsible.
Thanks a lot.
Well, the first thing you're going to do, Pearl, is get rid of that cigar. And if you wear our suit on the field and go insulting it, I am going myself to take you out of the zoo and feed you to the bears. Quiet! Let him... Blow smoke in my face, will you?
Hold it. I told you, no trouble. If anything happens to him, Hank, you're responsible. Now, remember, you guys, we have a doubleheader tomorrow. So see if you can try hard enough not to disgrace Pearl and me.
Pearl.
Okay. Now, clear out. Pearl and I have some serious talking to do.
Pearl, I tell you, them clowns are sure taking a lot out of me. I wished I was dead.
What makes you think you ain't, Junior? What makes you think you ain't?
Oh, now let you off, will you? Pearl, tell me the truth. How old are you?
I told you, 54.
Okay. How tall are you?
I'm 31 and a half. No, 32 inches tall.
32 inches? That's fine. Tomorrow, I'm taking out legal and proper papers constituting one Pearl Dumanville a bona fide member of this former ball club. Maybe that'll shame them big babies into getting in there and swinging, knowing I can replace any of them with a midget. I beg your pardon, Pearl.
Okay, Junior.
Yes, sir, I'm going to make it all legal and proper.
Drive was fouled just by inches. Bugs Courtney can certainly clobber that ball. Well, here we are, first of the night. Two men out, two on base, and the count on Bugs, three balls, two strikes. Score nothing to nothing. This is Del Sharpett at Ringo Stadium in St. Louis. If St. Louis wins today, it'll be a clean sweep, having won a doubleheader 7-2 and 10-0 yesterday. It looks like the league leaders are fading fast, and St. Louis will take over. Well, now the outfield has moved back into position, and here's the pitch. Ball four. Bugs walks, filling the bases. And now up comes their slugger, Hank Metters. Wait a minute. There's a terrific rhubarb. It looks like a youngster coming up to the plate. Check this, Ted. No, it can't be a youngster. He has a big cigar in his mouth. A little bat and a big cigar. Oh, well, now here's the scoop on the rhubarb. For the first time in big league baseball, we have batting in the cleanup position for the league-leading champ, Pearl Dumanville, a midget. Well, this rhubarb seems to be growing and growing. I'm sure it's going to be a few minutes before they can get this game going again. So we've sent Ted down on the field with a portable mic. Can you hear me, Ted? Ladies and gentlemen, I see the St. Louis manager is up out of the dugout, and everyone is screaming and yelling. Again, we'll try to take you down on the field. Ted, come in. Ted, can you hear me? Come in.
Okay, Del. I'm down here, and the pandemonium here is terrific. We'll try to get as much of the conversation as possible. Here's McGrew and Umpire Kelly screaming at each other.
I'm telling you, McGrew. I'm telling you, get a batter up there or you'll forfeit the game.
I told you I'm sending in a pinch hitter. There he is, Pearl DeMonville. You stand right beside me, Pearl.
You got yourself a boy, Junior. Watch it, McGrew. Here comes the squarehead, the St. Louis manager.
McGrew, what are you trying to pull? Are you trying to disgrace baseball? They ought to bring the funny wagons for you. You know there ain't no pitcher alive can pitch no ball for no pitcher.
It's all proper and legal. Here are the papers. Tell me, sign with the owners, okay for the manager. Here you are. Now look it up.
I don't care what no papers say. He's a midget.
Doesn't look right to me. He's using the kid's bat.
I don't care about any of that. But McGrew, where you been keeping him all season?
McGrew, maybe we had better get out of here. Here comes the field umpire with the rule book.
Well, looks like it's legal and proper, just like McGrew said. All right, get back to your places. Get back in the dugout. Now, if there's any more screaming here, St. Louis will forfeit the game. Okay, McGrew, since you're a half ball player in there.
Okay.
Well, you just stand up there and hold that bat on your shoulder. There ain't a man in the world who can throw three strikes in there before he can throw four balls.
I get it, Junior. You'll have to walk me, and that will force in the winning run.
That's it, Pearl. That's it. Just stand there. Don't let me down.
I won't. Junior, light my cigar for me. You and me is gonna make history.
This is Del Charbon up in the press box again. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for that clarification of what's going on down there. Well, we are... Hey, wait a minute. The pitcher threw his glove on the ground and is stamping on it. I don't blame him, inasmuch as he just walked two normal-sized men. Now he has a man at the plate who couldn't be more than 15 inches between his knees and his shoulders.
Fly ball!
The catcher is towering over the batter like the Washington Monument. Wait a minute. I have never seen anything like this. The plate umpire started standing on his tiptoes. Now he tries bending down. Nothing seems to work. Oh, this crowd is going mad. Well, he has a stance that no one has ever seen on a ball field before. The umpire is squatting on his haunches. All right, here's the first pitch. Ball one. That was 2 feet over DeMonville's head. The catcher is going out to the mound now to talk to the pitcher. He hands him the ball. Comes back to the plate. And now, here's the pitch. Side armor. Ball two. Well, that one was a little closer. With a normal-sized man, I think it would have been a strike. With DeMonville, it was about a foot and a half above his head. The catcher is going out to the mound again. And the third baseman has also come into the mound to talk things over. DeMonville is just standing there, motionless, with that tiny bat over his shoulder. But he's blowing smoke rings. Well, here comes the catcher back. Boy, he gave DeMonville a look like he would like to see him in a bottle of alcohol. This is really fantastic. The runners on the bases have sat down on the bags. All right, ready for the next pitch. Here it comes. This is the slowest ball I've ever seen pitched. It's coming slow. I believe it's going to be a... Oh, no! He hit the ball! The ball is rolling slowly down toward third. The infield is coming in fast. DeMonville is running toward first. The runners are up from their bases and are coming in. I think the catcher has the ball. No, he booted it out past the pitcher's box. The pitcher has fallen on his face trying to stop it. I believe the shortstop has it. DeMonville still running toward first. The shortstop kicks the ball and it's rolling toward second base. The runners are all in. DeMonville still running toward first, still 20 feet from the bag. The second baseman has finally gotten the ball, and here's the throw. Yeah! Everything has broken loose down there on the field, and I'm going to try to pick up Ted. Ted, come in.
Here I am, Dell, down here by first. Pandemonium's broken loose. Here comes McGrew, running with tears streaming down his face. I'll try to pick this up, Del.
Pearl, why did you do it, Pearl?
back up here in the press box. This is amazing. It looks like McGrew is swinging his batter around like a hammer thrower. And it looks like Dumontville is the hammer. Nobody can get near him without getting his head knocked off. And now he lets him go. And it looks like Dumontville is headed for the soap sign in center field. And there goes the St. Louis center fielder on a dead run. Back, 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 trying to get under Dumontville. And he's got him.
As he ran out of the ballpark, he looked like one of those dash hounds with a satchel in his mouth, still smoking that big cigar. Yep, that was the end of Dumontville, and that was the end of our losing streak, too. When we got in the locker room that day, we couldn't look at each other. And then suddenly we all started laughing and kidding, and I quit complaining and wishing I was with the Angels. Well, sir, we went on to Chicago and took all four games. Got 17 hits in the first game. Hey, poor old St. Louis. They were so shook up by that last game with us, they never did hit the stride again. Their center fielder who caught Pearl, well, he took to misjudging everything that come his way. The rest of the team followed suit. That's the way it is when a club one guy blows up. Well, sir, my boys all went together and bought a pair of them little baby shoes. Got them golden, give them to me as a souvenir. Great guys. Whitey, Billy, made up. We come home like a ton of dynamite. Went on to win that pennant.
Quite a story, Mr. McGrew.
Yeah, it happened about 25 years ago. Suppose it seems like a long time ago to you, boy, but to me it seems just like yesterday. Bugs Courtney standing up at the players' dinner and saluting what he called the greatest man and a half in baseball, me and Pearl Dumontville. You see, Pearl was right. We did kind of make history. And Larry, all this is in the record books. If you don't believe it, you could look it up.
You've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, presenting James Thurber's You Could Look It Up. Written, produced, and directed for radio by D. Engelbach. Music by Richard Heyman. Heard in our cast were Ralph Bell, Sarah Fussell, Larry Haynes, Harold Huber, Joe Julian, David Kerman, Del Sharpett. Next week from Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop brings you John Train's Silent Witness, starring one of Hollywood's finest actors, Raymond Burr. The CBS Radio Workshop has come to you from New York. This is Ted Pearson speaking. You hear America's favorite shows on the CBS Radio Network.